Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Learning to Speak Alzheimer's, a groundbreaking approach for everyone dealing with the disease, is a practical caregiving guide by Joanne Koenig-Coste, written for families, care partners, and professionals supporting people living with Alzheimer's disease. First published in the early 2000s, the book belongs to the caregiving and health advice genre rather than medical research or memoir. Its central purpose is to change how readers respond to dementia-related confusion, distress, and communication breakdowns. Instead of urging caregivers to correct, argue, or constantly orient the person, Costa promotes habilitation, an approach built around entering the patient's reality and reducing unnecessary conflict. The book combines emotional insight with hands-on advice, covering everyday challenges such as talking about the diagnosis, driving, meals, bathing, room design, wandering, paranoia, and aggression. Its value lies in translating a difficult disease into workable daily practice. Rather than offering abstract theory, it focuses on how caregivers can preserve connection, calm, and dignity in ordinary interactions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, habilitation as a communication method that reduces conflict. The book's most distinctive idea is habilitation, Coste's term for interacting with the person in the reality he or she is experiencing, rather than insisting on factual correction. This matters because Alzheimer's often weakens short-term memory, reasoning, and temporal orientation, making direct confrontation emotionally counterproductive. The book argues that a caregiver who repeatedly challenges a mistaken statement may increase confusion, shame, and resistance without improving understanding. Habilitation, therefore, shifts the goal from winning a factual exchange to preserving a workable relationship. In practical terms, that means using reassurance, simplified choices, familiar routines, and responses that follow the person's emotional logic. The approach is not about deception for its own sake. It is about reducing distress and maintaining connection when standard communication no longer works. This makes the book especially useful to readers who want concrete guidance on how to respond in the moment rather than broad advice about disease acceptance. It reframes caregiving as adaptive communication, not correction. Secondly, everyday care tasks are treated as emotional experiences, not chores. A major strength of the book is its attention to ordinary routines such as eating, bathing, dressing, and moving through the day. Costa treats these activities as emotionally loaded moments where fear, confusion, embarrassment, or frustration can easily surface. That perspective is important because caregivers often focus only on completing the task. While the person with Alzheimer's may be reacting to loss of control or sensory discomfort, the book offers practical strategies for making meals and bath times more pleasant, which suggests an emphasis on pacing, tone, environmental setup, and respect for the person's comfort. This is more than a list of household tips. It reflects the book's broader belief that good care depends on how an activity feels to the patient. By reducing pressure and increasing predictability, caregivers can often avoid unnecessary confrontation. The emphasis on daily routines also makes the book highly usable because these are the situations families face repeatedly. Its practical value lies in showing that quality care is built through small, repeated adjustments rather than dramatic interventions. Thirdly, the book balances patient support with caregiver emotional survival. Coste does not treat caregiving as a one-sided duty that only asks more from the family member. A recurring theme is that the emotional well-being of the caregiver matters alongside the comfort of the person with Alzheimer's. This is significant because caregiving stress can lead to impatience, burnout, and communication failures that worsen the daily experience for both people. The book, therefore, functions partly as a guide to sustaining the caregiver's patience and perspective. It encourages a mindset in which frustration is expected, but does not have to define the relationship. This dual focus distinguishes the book from resources that are technically practical but emotionally thin. By recognizing the caregiver's strain, it makes its advice more realistic and more durable over time. Readers are not asked to become idealized saints. They are shown how to remain effective under pressure. That makes the book useful not only for immediate problem solving, but also for reducing the long-term emotional cost of caregiving. In this sense, the book is as much about preserving the helper as supporting the patient. Fourthly, behavioral symptoms are addressed through prevention and environment. The book covers some of the most difficult dementia-related behaviors, including wandering, paranoia, distress, and aggression. Rather than presenting these as problems to overpower, Costa frames them as signals that the person is confused, overstimulated, frightened, or unmet in some basic need. This shift in interpretation is important because it changes the caregiver's response from confrontation to prevention and adjustment. The book's advice on room design, routine, and setting suggests that the surrounding environment can either reduce or intensify these behaviors. For example, A familiar and calm space may lower agitation, while a cluttered or demanding setting can heighten it. That practical insight makes the book especially relevant for home caregivers trying to manage difficult situations without advanced clinical training. It also implies that behavior management starts before a crisis, through thoughtful preparation and observation. The result is a more humane and workable model of care, where behavior is understood in context rather than treated as mere disobedience. This approach gives families usable tools without turning the disease into a moral problem. Lastly, its enduring value comes from turning diagnosis into a workable care plan. The book is not limited to advanced stage caregiving techniques. It also helps readers begin with the diagnosis itself. That matters because families often experience diagnosis as shock, grief, and uncertainty, followed by a need to make immediate decisions about communication, safety, and daily support. Coste's book addresses that transition by offering a structure for adjusting expectations and learning how to relate differently as the disease progresses. This makes the book especially valuable as an entry point for people newly facing Alzheimer's, as well as for those already deep in caregiving who need a reset in approach. Its durability comes from the fact that it is not tied to a single clinical framework or temporary trend. The core advice remains relevant because it is grounded in human interaction, not specialized equipment or medication. Compared with many Alzheimer's books that lean heavily on explanation of the disease, this one emphasizes how to live with it day to day. That practical orientation is what gives it a lasting place in the caregiving literature. It offers a way forward when readers need more than sympathy and less than a clinical manual. In conclusion, Learning to Speak Alzheimer's should be read by family caregivers, spouses, adult children, home aides, and health professionals who need practical guidance for daily interaction with someone living with dementia. Its main value is not in presenting a medical theory of Alzheimer's, but in showing how to reduce distress, improve cooperation, and preserve dignity through communication choices and environmental adjustments. Readers who are overwhelmed by repeated conflict, difficult routines, or emotional exhaustion are likely to find the book especially useful because it offers a concrete way to think about behavior and response. What makes it stand out in the Alzheimer's caregiving category is its emphasis on habilitation, a perspective that asks caregivers to work with the person's reality instead of fighting it. That idea gives the book a distinctive and enduring identity among books that otherwise focus mainly on diagnosis, disease facts, or general encouragement. It is best understood as a hands-on companion for everyday caregiving, one that helps readers make ordinary moments less adversarial and more humane. For anyone looking for a practical, compassionate framework rather than a clinical overview, it remains a strong and relevant choice. If you would like to support Joanne Koenig-Coste, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.